Good morning for WFCR News. I'm Bob Paquette. 1 year ago, the Shelburne Falls Trolley Museum introduced its star attraction, the Number 10 Trolley, a combination passenger and freight car that serviced the hill towns of western Massachusetts at the turn of the century. WFCR's Susanna Lee visited the trolley for a look into the role of the rural trolley line and the curious affliction known as trolley fever.
As the number 10 trolley squeals and creaks its way to the platform, a small but expectant crowd is waiting to board. Their destination? Approximately 1,100 feet down to the end of the rail line and back again. It's only about a 3-minute ride one way, but this little car carries a glimpse into a vital part of transportation history for the rural hill towns of western Massachusetts at the beginning of the 20th century.
Freight section, as we talked about on the way out, carried milk products, apple cider, mail, and this section was used for the school kids to ride to school, although it's said that the girls rode in the passenger section and the boys relegated themselves to the freight section.
Motorman Mike Cole volunteers his time on weekends to the Shelburne Falls Trolley Museum. He feels questions about the car that once ferried passengers on a 7-mile run along the Deerfield River between the towns of Shelburne Falls and Coleraine, Massachusetts.
All aboard!
The Shelburne Falls and Coleraine Street Railway was only one of several independent electric trolley lines that threaded their way throughout the rural towns and villages of New England, starting in the late 1800s. Smaller in scale than the national steam railroads already in existence, such as the Boston and Maine and the New Haven lines, the electric trolley was lightweight, economical to build, and could climb a steeper grade than the railroads. That way, they could get to the out-of-the-way country towns.
And they gave instant access to markets and cultural centers for the people and their businesses in these towns.
Writer and trolley buff Alfred Barton was one of the founders of the Shelburne Falls Trolley Museum. The first viable trolley service in the country was up and running in 1888. Shelburne Falls got their first car not long after, in 1896. A young Scott Joplin was composing his first piano rags, and it would be 5 years before President McKinley was shot. The electric trolley opened up the rural landscape and provided a new freedom of movement to farmers, mill workers, and townspeople as never before.
The trolley really did benefit a lot of these towns, I think, for quite a while, not only in bringing people from place to place, but you have to remember also that most of these towns were also mill towns. They had factories in them, and the people needed to get to work from one town to another, and this made it much more convenient to do that.
Historian Larry Lowenthal specializes in railroad history.
It also helped people find ways of recreation, because many of these trolleys operated what they called trolley parks, and on Sundays, when the equipment was not being used for regular service, they would charter these cars and run them out to trolley amusement parks, and this was the high point of a lot of people's week.
Every town, every little town felt that they were going to wither and die and be passed by if they didn't get trolley connection, or if they couldn't get a steam railroad connection, then they wanted a trolley connection.
Sam Bartlett is president of the Shelburne Falls Trolley Museum. When he's not at his desk, Bartlett can usually be found high atop an old caboose in need of repair, hammer and nails in hand. He describes the pitched frenzy that gripped the hill towns and towns countrywide with the advent of the trolley. It was called trolley fever.
I liken it to the push to get online now to be connected to the internet. Everybody feels they need to be connected to the internet. If our schools aren't connected to the internet, we'll be passed by. Back then, the schools needed to be served by the trolley lines to get the kids to school. It was a more basic need, but it was the same sort of thing. Everybody had to be online, but it was just a different line back then.
At the outset, the railroads eyed the trolley lines as potential competition. Eventually, rumors abounded that the New Haven Railroad, which had already purchased the neighboring Berkshire, Springfield, and Worcester lines, would buy up the Shelburne Falls and Coleraine Street Railway as well. The New Haven line was financed by J.P. Morgan and operated by the infamous Charles S. Mellon. Expanding the line was just part of their scheme to create a transportation monopoly throughout New England. This came to a grinding halt, however, in 1913 when the financially overextended line was investigated by the Interstate Commerce Commission and Mellon was ousted. Larry Lowenthal.
As time went on, the New Haven Railroad was like a large animal that was being bled to death by 100 little pinpricks, and the blood was oozing out of many different places, and each one of these little trolley companies would have been one more wound from which blood was seeping out until finally it was drained.
Whether it was ultimately owned and subsidized by the railroads or not mattered little. The writing was on the wall for the trolley in ways few could have known in 1896. Henry Ford was tinkering on his first gasoline-powered vehicle, and by 1913, America was entering a new love affair with the automobile.
The trucks and the cars were really too much competition for them. The flexibility that they allowed, even though this trolley line ran 14 trips a day sometimes, people liked the flexibility, and they still had to get from their farms down to the trolley line. And if they started getting into their cars and their trucks to drive down to the trolley line, they figured they might as well drive the last 7 miles to Shelburne Falls anyway.
So the relatively brief but illustrious run came to an end when, in 1927, no longer making a profit, the Shelburne Falls and Coleraine trolley line quietly closed down for good. Many others had preceded it, and many more would follow shortly, until the rural trolley was just a thing of the past. For WFCR, I'm Susanna Lee.
The Trolley Museum celebrates its first anniversary this Sunday at noon with special events, and admission is free.